area. It's actually, it's not by the brick buildings. It'll be by the basketball court. We'll have a good convoy going up there. And so we're looking forward to that. Please be in prayer about that. Other announcements are in the bulletin. And please, one thing to keep in mind is our missions yard sale. And so we need volunteers for that. If you can help us with that, that would be greatly appreciated. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 24. And as you're turning to that book this morning, to that passage of Scripture, although I have not personally experienced it, I do believe one of the most devastating things that can happen to you physically is that of a heart attack. In fact, the whole experience just seems terrible, for lack of a better term. People experience pain in their chest and different parts of their body. There's shortness of breath, which can lead to anxiety. People have confessed to lightheadedness, sweating, nausea, vomiting. In fact, one of the symptoms or signs of a heart attack, according to different medical sites that list those, is in fact death. Some heart attacks are known as widow makers because very few people survive. Those who do, however, usually experience significant life changes. They have to take a battery of different medication. Their activities are limited. There are sometimes many side effects, not only to the medications, but also to the damage that is done to the heart. They often go from few doctors to many. And there is, just as there is with any other major physical issue that might be going on in your life, the fear that at some time it may happen again. I think one of the worst things, I could just interject a little here this morning, my father went through a heart attack. The worst casualties is your diet. Although some heart attacks are less severe than others, I don't think anyone would say there's a good heart attack, except for one. There's one heart attack that is actually beneficial to the person who experiences it, which is surprising because it is far and away the most painful heart attack that you will ever experience. And it is one, of course, when we think of heart attack, we think of those people who are high-risk people because of their lifestyle or their diet. They are more prone to heart attack. This heart attack, or the high-risk group of people that are associated with this type of heart attack, are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. This account of in the life of David as he was a fugitive from Saul. The Bible says, "It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistine that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand. Thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed with his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave, went on his way. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing to be with us to God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for your love and your mercy, and we are thankful this morning for your active work within our hearts and lives. And as this morning we take time to look at how you deal with mankind, specifically, Lord, your sons and your daughters, may the holy anointing of the Holy Spirit be with us as we look to God's word give words to this, your speaker today, and ears to everyone who hears. And we ask this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Most heart attacks contribute or lead to death, but this most painful of heart attacks that we are looking at this morning, the one experienced by the man David, is one, despite its pain, leads to life. In fact, there are few people who experience a heart attack on more than one occasion. And we see in David's life, this is one that he experienced two times. But in both instances, it led to life, that being a renewal of his heart and of his relationship with his Lord, his God, and his Savior. Looking at the occasion of this occurrence, and again, a lot of different things were going on at this time, but what we're looking at specifically this morning is the moving of God's Holy Spirit on the heart of David that brought him great pain. And looking at the occasion, we see that this was a very troubling time in David's life. David, who began his career as a leader, did so very successfully and with much praise and adulation. It started with a bang. He was someone, although he was a very young man, perhaps a teenager, armed only with a stone and a sling, slew a great giant, Goliath. Some say he was 9 feet, some say he was 13 feet. He was big, let's just say that this morning. And David, armed only with a sling, slew this giant and then led the Israelites in a very successful battle against the Philistines, the army that the giant was aligned with. And the success of David continued. In the course of time, Saul made him a commander of some of his armies, and he would lead the Israelites successfully against the enemies of Israel. Most everyone loved David. In fact, they would sing songs, David, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Everything seemed to be going good, but because the king of the nation of Israel, Saul, was not a man like David, a man after God's own heart, he grew envious and jealous of David and sought to kill him. And literally, overnight, David went from being the darling of Israel to the sworn enemy of Saul, a fugitive with literally no place to go, hiding, as in this instance that we read this morning, in the caves of the remote areas of the land of Canaan. And on this occasion, David and his men were hidden in a cave that Saul chose to go into to relieve himself. And as he was doing so, David and his men realized that this was an opportunity to take matters into his own hand and slay his sworn enemy, and thus be rid, at least seemingly, of all of his problem. There's no reason to think that if David slew Saul, that David would suffer any repercussion from this. In fact, his men thought, as well as David possibly came to the conclusion himself, that if he did in fact take Saul's life, then what was promised to him long ago, and him becoming king, was not something that David was not aware of. A prophet, a man of God named Samuel, anointed Saul many years before that, and said that one day he would be king. There's a very real reason to believe that if David took advantage of this opportunity to kill his sworn enemy, he would in fact become king. But in entertaining this, there was something that David could not get beyond, and that is the law of God, specifically the law of God concerning those who are in authority. The book of Psalms, chapter 105, verse 15, refers to this transgression or this sin that David was at least tempted in doing. Scripture reads, "Do not touch my anointed ones," and whether Saul was righteous or not, whether he was obeying God or not, he was still someone who was anointed or designated by God to be king. "Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm." In fact, the Apostle Paul elaborates on the reverence and respect people are to have towards those who are in authority, civil as well as spiritual. Reading Romans 13, 1 and 2, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. So here's David. Here's this prime opportunity to take out his enemy. And here is the word, the command of God, not to touch the anointed of the Lord. And so David, in these moments of decision, sneaks up upon Saul with either sword or knife. But instead of slaying Saul, he takes a knife and just cuts a portion of his robe off and then leaves. Which very quickly, and I don't know how much time actually transpired, but very quickly led to conviction within his heart. And I'd like to look at that this morning, because that conviction, even in something that was seemingly so small, was something that I believe saved David and maintained his relationship with him. And when I mean saved David from a greater sin. What is a good heart attack? One that is given to us by God for our good. Three things I would like to share with you about it this morning. The first is that it is powerful. The heart attack that comes from God is something that is very strong, very deep, and very painful. Now, before we discuss this, let me be crystal clear regarding the moving of God's Holy Spirit on the life of a believer. That being this, if you are in Christ, and what I mean by being in Christ, you have by faith confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, confessed to him your sin, and asked him to come into your life to make you a brand new Christian. If that is the case, the Bible clearly teaches in Romans 8, 1 and 2, as well as many other scriptures, there is no condemnation in your life. Your salvation is sure. And let's read that scripture together this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. When we sin, two things about sin. Number one, everybody sins, even after you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And we know this, two reasons. Number one, the Word of God tells us this. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, if we say that we have not sinned, then we are a liar, and the truth is not in us. And this is something that John wrote to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we also know this by practice, and I kind of ask this question often, but I'll ask it again. How many, don't raise your hands, or if you want, you can raise. How many this past week, yes, please raise your hands on this one. How many this past week did not sin at all? Didn't say anything, didn't think anything, didn't do anything you shouldn't do. In fact, don't even raise your hands. Stand up and be counted. I want to give you a hand. You did better than me. No one did. I should sit down myself. Everyone sin, and sin is death to the spirit. The soul that sins shall surely die. And so when we sin, it should be dealt with quickly. And God knows this. And so because God loves us and does not want to see sin corrupt our relationship with our Heavenly Father, does not condemn us, but convicts us. In fact, Jesus teaches about this in his last words to the disciples regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He shall convict or convince the world of sin. But one thing we should always note, and this is something that helps us determine whether or not the Holy Spirit is working on us regarding our sin or something else or someone else, someone evil, whether it be Satan or the evil heart of man or ourselves. is that the conviction of sin never leads to the despairing of life where there is no hope. God's conviction always leads to repentance and restoration. Amen?
Amen.
That was kind of an amen type of thing. That being said, however, does not mean that the conviction or the convincing of sin in the life of the believer is not deep nor painful. In fact, I believe in the reading of our text this morning that the dealings, not only the text, but the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives, lets us know that the moving of the Holy Spirit regarding conviction is often very deep and painful. You might have noticed this morning that as I read my text, it's not the usual version of the Bible that I read from, which is usually New International Version, but rather it was the King James Version, and there was a reason why I used that version this morning, and that is because I think regarding verse 5, it gives us the full understanding of how God was dealing with David. Some translations render the working of God's Holy Spirit upon David's heart as that being bothered, his heart was bothered. Other versions, in fact, I believe the NIV version, New International Version, translates that portion of Scripture as David being conscience-stricken. But literally, that verse means that David was smitten or struck or hit or slain in his heart. The word is powerful. You know, David just didn't say, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. You know, this is probably not a good idea. You know, I'm not going to do this. The idea here, and I don't necessarily discount the New International Version because I do think that brings about an important aspect of the full flavor of this world. But he was wounded in his heart when he but did this one little thing of cutting off the corner of the robe. Now, it seems minor. And Mary Ellen, if you could just turn the air off. I think it's cool enough in here. And just to keep the sound down as well. Thank you. It seemed like it was a very minor thing to cut the robe off. But, you know, that was actually something very, very significant. And the robe was part of the royal regalia of a king. And David cutting off a portion of that was symbolic of him taking the kingdom. So it wasn't just, oh, I'm just going to cut his robe and say, here I was. This was something that was a little more intense than that. But still, it was very far short of what he could have done, injuring, maiming, if not killing, Saul himself. The Bible says when he did this, he was wounded in his heart. And the flavor or the impression of that word is that he was wounded deeply. That word smite or slay is also used when armies would make war, go and slay your enemy, or when someone would strike or kill someone. Moses slew or smote the Egyptian and he died. Another scripture that gives us insight I have for you today, Exodus chapter 3, verse 20. I will stretch out my hand and I will strike or smite the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And that relates to the 10 plagues that God poured out upon the Egyptian. And those were fearsome, awesome plagues that God just didn't sprinkle. Here's a few frogs and here's a few flies and, you know, this type of thing. They were smitten. They were wounded with those things. And that talks about the intensity of the conviction of the Holy Spirit when we, case of David, even entertain sin. So as we walk in the Holy Spirit, and as we live in a world that is full of temptation, one of the things that we can expect when sin comes into our lives, something painful, something deep, but something that leads to blessing in that it keeps us from sin, is the strong conviction of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. Secondly, this morning, the good heart attack that you and I do receive from God in serving the Lord Jesus Christ is often preemptive of a greater sin. Interesting to note about not just heart attacks, but other serious medical conditions. Often they go beyond, and in my case, regarding cancer, my doctors told me I had cancer for years before it was actually discovered. And I didn't realize there were warning signs that I was actually experiencing, and I just dismissed it as something else because of my age or whatnot. Had I understood the warning signs, I would have started treatment much earlier, but just didn't get it. And one of the things about this strong conviction of the Holy Spirit when we're just entertaining sin is that it keeps us from doing something worse. It keeps us from letting things go too far. Notice at what point in his life David's heart was stricken. It was long before his sin escalated. He went, he cut the robe. Now think of what happened. I don't know how long Saul was in there, but he cut the robe, and having seen that he got away with doing that, could have said, okay, I got his robe, now I can get him. But the moving of the Holy Spirit worked fast as well as hard, and in his heart and life kept escalating, committing a greater sin than he already did. What does that teach us about this good heart attack that God will sometimes afflict us with? Well, many times people who serve God don't feel conviction until after they have sinned and experienced the consequences of that sin. But God loves us so much. He loves us so much that he does not want us not only to ruin our relationship, but suffer those terrible consequences. We do those things that dishonor the Lord Jesus. That even at the very, very elemental stages of sin, which is entertaining temptation, he will send that deep conviction of the Holy Spirit to keep us from sinning greater in a greater way. In fact, we see this just a few chapters later in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 26, where David has another opportunity to take the life of Saul. And there his friends are continue to egg him on. This is it. This is your chance. Do it. But instead of doing that, David, because he had felt that conviction already once before, responded, verse 11, "The Lord forbid that I should lay a hand upon the Lord's." My friend, even though the conviction of the Holy Spirit may deepen your life, it will reap, as Scripture teaches us, a peaceable fruit in that God will use that to keep you from getting a deeper and more serious sin. And lastly this morning, this painful conviction of God's Holy Spirit is redemptive. It keeps us in right relationship with God. And this is seen in the heart of David. 1 Samuel 24, verse 10, later on, after David had cut the robe off and after he had felt convicted and disagreed or dispelled the counsel of his friends, and Saul left the cave, David shouts out to Saul. And among the things he said to him, he says in verse 10, "This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed." One of the most important parts of the restoration process between man and God, and this includes both initially coming to Jesus Christ as Savior, but also in coming back to God when we fall into sin in our lives, is that of confession. And confession consists of two things if we're really going to confess right. First and foremost, it's confessing what we have done, the things that we've done wrong, and David did that regarding the cutting of Saul's robe. But the second part of confession, it's one we often leave out when we talk about this very important spiritual practice. It's confessing not only what is right, but what we will do. David, as he called out to Saul, not only told Saul what he could have done, but also declared that he was going to live righteously. It was a declaration not only before Saul, but to all those who heard before the Lord his God, that despite the temptation, he was going to live right. And that's what the conviction of the Holy Spirit does. As painful and And let me tell you, the pain that we feel is not so much a physical pain. It is just reaching down to the parts of our hearts, places that aren't quite right for God. And it is a painful process in many ways because sometimes we see some things about ourselves that aren't very pleasant. But God loves us anyway. And God just brings us to a place of declaration that I, in this area that I am being tempted in, I will serve and I will honor the Lord. It's the power of that conviction, God's Holy Spirit, which helps move us to that place. Henry, if you would like to come this morning. I would like to say that David stayed in this place in his life where the Holy Spirit moved upon him. You can leave that off, Henry. It's cool enough. Where David was sensitive to God's Holy Spirit, where it kept him from sinning further, but it didn't. We read in 2 Samuel, I believe chapter 16, where David was not only tempted with sin, David actually engaged in that sin. And I'm referring to the sin of, with Bathsheba, the sin of adultery, and then the sin of murder. And instead of confessing that sin and making a declaration that he would not act out on the temptations that he was feeling, he lived out a proverb that so often many of us fall into as well. Proverbs 28, verse 13, reading, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. David, when he was on the roof and he looked lustfully at Bathsheba as he was bathing, did not, we don't know if he felt conviction of the Holy Spirit. If he did, he did not act on it. My question to you this morning, as well as to myself as I was preparing for the Jawai, I think the key relates to how closely David was walking with God's Holy Spirit. Now, this is just my supposition to you, and I may be wrong on this, but when you're in trouble, and David was in trouble, he had nowhere to go in the land of Canaan. He was fugitive. Even his friend, you know, even people who knew better were trying to get him into trouble and turn him into Saul, these different. When times are tough, you walk closely. You're praying like you've never prayed. You're studying Scripture like you've never studied. And I'm sure David at this time was walking very, very closely with God. And so the voice of the Holy Spirit could be heard very, very clearly. The time of David's fall, time of success. And David, I'm sure, is just like the rest of us. When things are going good, we have less or feel less of a need. We have a great need. But we feel there's less of a need to depend upon God. We're not calling out to God for his strength. We're not spending as much time in the Word. We're not maybe not spending as much time at church, although this morning I know I'm preaching to the choir. Because we're not walking, and you know, walking in the Spirit is a choice that Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because we're not walking in the Spirit, it's not that God's not speaking to us, it's just we don't hear him. We don't feel that conviction. Let me tell you, we need those good heart attacks because they lead to. You don't want a regular heart attack. You just want. When you're even entertaining doing something wrong, feeling, oh, how could I even think of that? Stand with me, Henry, if you please.